He's alive. Amen. Amen. We're so glad today. Welcome, everybody. Good morning and happy Resurrection Day. This is the day the Lord has made. We are rejoicing and are glad in it today. Amen. And are declaring today that because he lives, we also shall live, and we are alive today in him. Thank you, worship team, this morning, and thank you, everybody, for being in the house of the Lord together today. You may be seated this morning as we look to the Word of God together. We're going to Mark chapter 16 this morning in the Gospels as we pick one small portion of Scripture today to launch us into our message today. Our title for this sermon today is Resurrection, Really? And I shouldn't have put a question mark there. I should have put an exclamation part there. Because Jesus has arisen from the dead and he is alive today. And that's the truth we're declaring from the scripture this morning. We read at Mark chapter 16, beginning with verse number 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. His body had been crucified. Jesus had been crucified on the cross and buried in Joseph's tomb. His body lay there from whatever formula you may choose, maybe Thursday through Sunday morning to calculate the 3 days and the three nights. His body lay in the tomb there, mangled and bloody and beaten and bruised, having endured an excruciating form of Roman execution. Last Sunday morning, we declared that the death of Jesus was voluntary. It was vicious and violent. It was vicarious. He died for us. Could you say amen? And it was victorious because it was a temporary death that accomplished its plan. So Jesus had died, and now early Sunday morning, his body, they thought, was lying in the tomb, and the women came to anoint the body of Jesus with spices. Verse 2. Very early on that first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here." Would you say amen? Amen. We could find accounts of that resurrection story in Matthew's gospel, Mark's gospel, Luke's gospel, John's gospel, and in the book of Acts chapter 1, a brief summary of his resurrection from the dead. And today we gather together in this sanctuary, as we do every year on Easter Sunday morning, to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The most important 3 days in history were those days of the death and resurrection of Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ. Nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus came from heaven as God's only begotten Son, born into this world, born of the Virgin Mary, lived on planet Earth for 33 years, performed great signs and wonders and miracles, set the captives free, broke the bondages of the devil, and brought new life to people during his 3.5-year ministry on earth. At the end of that 3.5 years of ministry, after having lived a perfect, sinless life, Jesus, the Son of God, surrendered himself to be crucified by the Roman government at the behest of the Jewish religious leadership of the day. And together they conspired to put Jesus, the Son of God, to death. He died on that cross, was buried in the tomb, And 3 days later, early in the Sunday morning hour sometime, I wish we had the exact time indicated for us, but sometime while it was still dark in the early morning hours, Jesus, the Son of God, rose again from the dead, came out of the tomb, and began to appear to his disciples and to those around about him. And we celebrate today the reality that Jesus is no longer dead. He is alive and well. Would you say amen? Amen. He is alive in heaven. He is alive in our hearts. He is present with us and moving among us. And he is offering new life to all who will trust in him and call upon his name. Jesus is alive. This morning I want us to examine the resurrection proof and evidence that is before us today. We'll examine the facts. We'll eliminate the fiction, we'll talk about embracing the faith, and we'll talk about enjoying the future through Jesus Christ our Lord. We sang today as our final song, "Life is worth the living because Jesus is alive." And that's the reality that we celebrate today. Jesus, the living Jesus, has made a powerful, eternal difference for us. We begin this morning by examining the facts surrounding the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Four simple words I want to give you this morning. The first is this: there is an empty tomb. When Jesus died, he was buried in what we call a borrowed tomb. Now, perhaps many did not know at the time of his burial that it would be borrowed only for a few days, but when Jesus was buried there, that was a temporary burial. Luke 24:1 says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. The body was gone. Not only so, the angels appeared to them and declared to them, he has risen from the dead, he is no longer here. Not only did the angels give that testimony, but Jesus himself would appear to the women in the garden and reveal himself to them so that they might see him face to face and realize that the one who had died right before their very eyes, because you'll remember those women were at the cross, when the other disciples, most of them had fled and were scattered around, most of the women were there at the cross, near the cross of Jesus as he died, along with John, the beloved apostle. Those women had seen him die, and now they would see him raised from the dead in the garden that morning. The empty tomb was there. Jesus had been raised from the dead. The empty tomb. Secondly, as we examine the facts, we have to deal with the eyewitness testimony. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared again and again and again and again to his disciples, revealing himself to be alive. It's worth reading the scriptures. How many of you know it always is? Say amen. It's worth reading the scriptures today to consider the eyewitness testimony. Mark chapter 16, verse 9 says this: when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. John chapter 20, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Through the door, though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Jesus would appear on multiple occasions to his disciples after his resurrection from the dead. What did they do during those 40 days? Because the book of Acts declares that for 40 days, Jesus appeared in his resurrection body. from his resurrection from the dead until his ascension to heaven, 40 days. Well, we read it in Acts chapter 1, verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Many convincing proofs. The nail prints in his hands and his side, the scars that were upon him, they observed those realities. He ate and drank with them after he rose from the dead. Peter would say later on in the book of Acts, chapter 10, he ate and drank with his disciples. He appeared to them, he taught them, he spoke to them, they touched him, they observed his resurrected body. Jesus provided many convincing proofs that he was alive. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, his brother, then to all the apostles, and last of all," Paul writes, "he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born." Think about the quality and the quantity of the eyewitness evidence of the resurrected Jesus. Paul says he appeared to more than 500 people at the same time. How many of you know that must have been a very exciting church service? As Jesus would appear to that great crowd of believers who would see him in his resurrected body. And he appeared again and again and again. And Paul writes, even after he ascended to heaven, Paul writes, "he appeared to me." That was on the road to Damascus, where Jesus spoke to Paul out of heaven and said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And a conversation began, and Jesus revealed himself to the apostle, to Saul, who would become the apostle Paul, and his life would be changed forever. The eyewitness testimony was powerful. Acts chapter 4, verse 31 says, "Even in the midst of persecution, after the apostles prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. And with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all." The point I bring to you from that record in the book of Acts is this. Even in the midst of great persecution and the threat of martyrdom, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In other words, they were not afraid of their enemies. They stood boldly to declare, "We know Jesus is alive." And they testified to that reality. The eyewitness testimony in ancient history is overwhelming and powerful. Hundreds of witnesses, bold and brazen, and then the witnesses were written and recorded. All of this meets the test of true historicity. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who lived 2,000 years ago and died on a cross, rose from the dead in history. So we ask ourselves the question, resurrection, really? And we declare, yes, really. Here's how the Apostle Paul put it. He said, "Christ has indeed been raised from the dead." So we have this eyewitness testimony, and we have before us today the enduring texts of Scripture. In John chapter 20, verse 29, Jesus said to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." John would continue to write there at the end of that 20th chapter these words. He said, "These scriptures that I'm writing," John says, "these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." And the scriptures remain for us today. Did you know that as we think about the written records of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, we're dealing with so much written historical evidence that only a fool could deny the resurrection of Jesus from the dead? Our New Testament today has been copied for centuries, accurate in its transmission, thousands of manuscripts existing even to this day. Pastor Ryan is going to be here at some point during the morning. They're going to join us, I think, for the first service. I know last Sunday was his last Sunday, but today's his first Sunday as just a member, I guess. This last week, he traveled to Washington, D.C., and was able to see in the Bible Museum some of the pieces and parts of the Dead Sea Scrolls from the Old Testament. I've had the privilege of seeing those in Jerusalem myself. The Old Testament manuscripts are powerful and real, but the New Testament manuscripts are so massive in number and in accuracy that it's a powerful reality for us to stand upon the historical record of the resurrection from Jesus. The scriptures remain, and how many of you are glad today you have your Bible? Say amen. The written records, the enduring texts. The emphatic truth is this, 1 Corinthians 15:19, again from the Apostle Paul, "If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." The truth is, Jesus is alive. For that we are grateful today. When we examine the facts, we eliminate the fiction. Jesus is not dead. The angel said to the women in Luke 24:5, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen." Jesus is not just some dead religious leader or philosopher from the past. He's not a relic from history. He's not dead, he's alive as a living Lord. He is not dead. And because he's not dead, he is not done. Jesus is still moving today. How many of you have felt the presence of Jesus sometime in the last few moments? Yes, we do. In the last days, in our lives, we feel and experience the moving and the presence and the power of the Lord Jesus. Jesus declared, "I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll be with you to the very end of the age." And Jesus' presence is with us today. He is not done. In Revelation chapter 1, Jesus declared, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come." How many of you know Jesus has a future ahead of him? As the living Lord, he reigns today in heaven. The scriptures declare that Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand in heaven even today, where he makes intercession for us and where he lives as Lord, as the Lamb of God, as the Lion of Judah. And the scriptures declare that Jesus is coming again one day to receive us to himself. The scripture declares that Jesus one day will come and establish a kingdom here on this earth where he will reign and rule, and we will reign with him 1,000 years. The Bible declares that Jesus is going to create a new heaven and a new earth, and we're going to live with him in eternity forever. I want you to know Jesus is not done. He's just begun. And what he's going to do into the future boggles the mind, but thank God we're along for the ride as his followers. Jesus is not dead, and Jesus is not done. He is Lord today. As we examine the facts and eliminate the fiction, we must embrace the faith for ourselves. We must recognize Jesus proactively. It's not enough just to speak a word about Easter Sunday and the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and to somehow celebrate with a family dinner and all of those kinds of things. Jesus must be the Lord of our lives personally. we must recognize him proactively. Romans 10 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We've got to recognize his lordship. If Jesus is alive today, as we've been preaching, then he is Lord. If Jesus really is alive, he is a force to be reckoned with. And we must decide and act on the truth and acknowledge his lordship over us and welcome him into our lives, receiving his forgiveness, living forward in the life that Jesus has to bring. Embracing the faith means recognizing Jesus proactively and receiving Jesus personally. John wrote in his gospel, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It's a matter of welcoming Jesus into our lives personally. I know that most of us in the room today, most of us have been there and done that. We have acknowledged Jesus as the one who died for us and rose again from the dead. And we have welcomed Jesus into our own hearts and lives. Most of you here in this room today have already spoken to Jesus and prayed to Jesus and praised Jesus and worshiped Jesus today. You've already done that in this very day because you know Jesus as a personal friend, a personal Lord, and a personal Savior. But for some who maybe have never taken that step, the step is easy, but it's life-changing. Welcoming Jesus into our hearts and lives is the beginning of a brand new life and a brand new future. When we examine the facts, eliminate the fiction, and embrace the faith, we can, number four, enjoy the future. We can live forgiven. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. He died for our sins. Thank God we don't have to carry the weight and the guilt of sin around. All these years of our lives, we can release those things into the presence of God who gave his son Jesus, that our sins might be washed away and removed from us as far as the east is from the west. Thank God for God's forgiveness. We can live forgiven. We can have our sins washed away, and we can live forward. Romans chapter 6 verse 4 says, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. How many of you know that if the ball and chain that you've been dragging around for years and years is cut off and removed, you can begin to move forward at a brand new pace and in a brand new direction? What used to hold you back no longer holds you back because Jesus has cut it off and done away with that. And Jesus has given us the permission in his grace and in his mercy to live a brand new life in the purpose and the plan and the blessing of God. Thank God that though we did not qualify for the blessings and favor of God, now because of Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection, we are fully qualified through him to share in the inheritance of God and to enjoy all of the blessings and the favor of our Heavenly Father. We can live in the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. We can live forgiven and we can live forward and we can live fearlessly. Listen to what Revelation 1:17 says. Then he placed his right hand on me, Jesus did, and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys to death and to Hades. Thank God Jesus has conquered every enemy that stood against us, including the enemy of death. And we don't have to live in fear anymore. We can live in confidence in the power and the presence and the promise of Almighty God. The Apostle Paul, when he writes to the Corinthians in his second letter in our New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says, when I came into the province of Asia, I had great difficulties and I was in a season of great despair. He said, I felt like I was going to die. But these things happened, Paul wrote, so that I might not rely on myself, but on God who raises the dead. And how many of you know that if God can raise the dead, he can do anything? The reality is, as God's people, because of the resurrection of Jesus, we have the confidence that we can live in the miraculous provision of an almighty God every day, all day long. We can live in God's power and his presence. Hallelujah. And we can live fearlessly. We don't have to be afraid of what this world has to throw at us. Our God is greater. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Our Lord Jesus has conquered death. And so he speaks to us and says, in this world, you may have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And as we walk with Jesus, we live in that victory as well. Could you say amen? We can live forgiven, we can live forward, we can live fearlessly. And lastly this morning, because of the resurrection of Jesus, we can live forever. John 3:16, I love closing sermons with this scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. And through the power and the work of Jesus Christ, who died and rose again for us, we can live in the promise of God, in the life of God, from this day on forever. Even when death comes, death becomes an entrance for the child of God into the presence of God in heaven. Someday a great resurrection will take place when Jesus descends into the clouds and when he calls his saints to arise and raises the dead from their graves, those who have trusted him and followed him. Someday a great resurrection will occur. And Jesus, the one who was the first to be raised from the dead, never to die again, will be our Lord and leader forever. And won't it be wonderful when we live with Jesus forever, all of us raised from the power of death into the beautiful life of Almighty God. He's alive. Amen.